W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios,
this is the WTH Podcast.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Welcome into another episode of the WTH Podcast, and welcome to 2020. If you're joining us live on Facebook, hold on, I'll turn your mics on too.
What up?
A whole new decade.
There's been some debate about that.
Man, fuck all that shit.
There's been some debate about that if you've been on social media. And we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
So, lot to talk about. We've been away for a little bit. We recorded our Christmas shows early, and then we were off last week because we've got a little bit of a different format going on here. So, some new things to be talking to you about in 2020. The format of this show is going to evolve as we move forward. We're going to keep the shows short, right around 30 minutes each.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to drop Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We may change that, but we'll let you know if we do. It's a new year.
Eventually.
Yeah, it's a new year. It's a positive new year. Lots of great stuff going on, and we're very excited that you are joining us wherever you listen to podcasts. Or if you're watching us on Facebook Live, have a very big, big announcement to make right now. And I have not confirmed this. Well, it was confirmed to me to begin with, but I haven't confirmed it the second time through. So this show, if you're watching on Facebook Live, this is a big, hairy deal. We at Darling New Media are going to be featured on Good Day Sacramento.
What?
Wednesday, the day this show drops, between 6 and 7 a.m.
Boom.
So that's very exciting news. We're very excited to spread the word of what we can do here to help people create their own podcast.
That is wonderful.
Because we believe that you should be able to have a podcast and that we can help make that happen. So a lot of very cool things going on here. A lot of projects launching in 2020. I'm going to be hosting two or three new podcasts for a client. So that's going to be a fun little, it's not an experiment. It's going to be a fun thing to do. A little different. It's an interview format. So it's very different than what this show is. There's no my personality. There's no, well, I had a little bit of my personality.
Your personality's on me there.
But it's not a comedy show,
but
we've got a few different topics, medical devices, high school athletics.
Ooh, cool.
And then some engineering things. We've done some test shows. So
engineering.
Fun stuff.
That sounds amazing.
Fun stuff. So, exciting. If, hope you got a chance to see it. We'll post the segments on the, Nate Darling Show. Nate Darling Show. God, my brain went back a year and a half on the Darling New Media Facebook page. So check that out when you get a chance. All right. Now then, gentlemen, we'll start with you, Kareem, as you are the farthest away from me, but in my most direct line of sight. How was your holiday and New Year?
The holiday was long because I spent 11 days in North Carolina for Thanksgiving.
Right? Yeah.
And I also had a death in the family during that time. So I came back. My girlfriend and her niece had decorated the house for Christmas. And they were in a Christmas mood. And I wasn't necessarily in a Christmas mood.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spent Christmas Eve at my baby mama's house with her grandkids and her other daughter. And Nano, who I love to death, but he wouldn't stop doing shit. So if you looked on my Facebook page, you see a picture of me with him in a headlock. That is a real headlock.
Yeah, kid.
That is not a cute little old.
How old is he?
He is 7. Mm.
Yes, my niece is that exact same age, and she is equally a pain in the ass at times.
He kept hitting his sisters and just doing shit. So I had to put him in a real headlock for a couple of minutes just to get him to stop agitating everybody.
Right. Mm.
And then I ended up sick the week of New Year's. So I went to the game, Kings game on New Year's Eve, took some clients to that, and then came back home, took a nap, and went to a friend's house for a party. And I lasted like an hour, and I was like, yeah, I can't do this. I was done. I was drained. But the holiday itself was, it was good. My girlfriend's niece lives with us now, and we got her a bunch of Naruto anime shit.
Naruto?
Yeah, that one.
How did I know you'd know?
I don't even watch anime. I just, uh-huh. I'm just.
You it, just it, know.
It's, listen, it intersects with the gaming community mm-hmm. somewhat. So
sure.
Yeah. It's just osmosis.
Yeah, but it was cool to give her, you know, to make Christmas as normal as we could for her.
Yeah.
You know, and she was really excited about all the stuff that she got. So it turned out pretty good for the most part.
Nice. Jason, what about you? You got 2 little ones now.
The 9-month-old, man. Christmas isn't really her thing yet. But the 3-year-old, man, she had a great time. She helped her sister open a lot of presents.
There you go.
She's at that age where when she's into it, she can really it can be very helpful, you know, like going back and forth and grabbing presents and bringing them to mom and dad.
Playing Santa.
Yeah, is great. You know, so that was like a Christmas. We were in Oakdale, and you know, I wanted to hang out with family and stuff like that and do what we used to do.
Well, clearly you do if you go all the way to Oakdale.
Yeah. But like one of the things that I remember as a kid and like also even, you know, before we had kids was when we get together for holidays, you know, the kids would go to sleep or, you know, the young ones would go to sleep and then we would, play board games and stuff like that. It used to be that we'd get so drunk that, you know, it just delve into chaos. But now we could actually play some spirited rounds of, you know, Trivial Pursuit or whatever else. Probably not Trivial Pursuit, but the kids wouldn't go to sleep. So we had to leave like at 8:00, you know, which is kind of sad. I wanted to stick around. And then the next day, my cousins, Dwight and Tanya were at the house, like they borrowed our car for the week. Cause they're up from San Diego and they were going to try to do it with like not getting, just like getting rides places and like tagging along with people and stuff like that. And I was like, very selfishly, because I know if they come to Sacramento and fly to Sacramento, they have like, and they borrow our car, they have to spend at least 2 nights at our house and hang out with us.
Yeah.
When they left after Christmas, they came over the night, it was the day after Christmas, they came over and I'd prepped some chicken wings, like I'd brined them, and we'll talk about brining during a little bit later.
Yes, we have a new segment.
But like I'd made these chicken wings and I left them in the refrigerator uncovered for, you know, the previous day, because you want 24 hours. Like that's, we'll talk about that later. But then all of a sudden I find out that like my brother's coming over and his kid's coming over, my mom's coming over and my sister is coming over. Like all of a sudden I had like additional like 4 or 5 people to feed. Like
you were like a pig in shit.
Oh man. So I just ran to the store and got some drumsticks. And I cooked it all. And it all came together, but it was just funny that's, you know, everybody ended up at the house, you know, hanging out, which was cool too. Like, honestly, like, being like not drinking and like having like my family not drinking at all, it's crazy how it is doable and tolerable. I don't know. And this stuff is more spontaneous to happen, you know?
Nobody says really crazy shit.
When people don't have to be driven around, yeah, doesn't get nuts. And then New Year's was quiet. Chris drank a bottle of champagne. I tried to get lucky. But it was a great New Year's. Next day we just hung out with the kids all day. And it was just weird having the holidays in the middle of the week like that was just weird with work and stuff. You know what I mean?
So, yes.
Thanks. I guess that means my segment's over.
It's not even your segment. I just asked you how your holiday was.
It was good. So that was it. That was the long answer. Sorry.
It really was.
Yeah.
We haven't been here for a while. So I completely understand that. Holiday for us, stressful. We have the 10-month-old and we got her up to Reading, and we went up early because my mother-in-law's birthday is a few days before Christmas. And we're waiting to go, where do you want to go for your birthday dinner? She ultimately, my grandmother, my Leslie's mom, got everybody mixed up here, sorry. Leslie's mom decided she wanted to go to Chuck E. Cheese for her birthday dinner.
Oh, no.
Because there were little kids, you know, okay, the 10-month-old, and she wanted to see the little kids having a good time. And she's like, I can go to other restaurants whenever. It was interesting. I'd never been to a Chuck E. Cheese before.
Oh, it's changed in the last.
Not in Reading, it hasn't.
No.
I'll have to ask you what's in it, and I'll tell you if it's different than when I.
A bunch of really lame things that take tokens.
Right, but video games. So they weren't video games. Like they were.
Oh,
more
no,
like,
there were some video games.
But not. Most of the things were ticket giving, correct? Most items you would earn tickets at.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's like play areas too, right? Like
didn't see any play areas. It's not
no
a big
ball
one.
Pits.
No, okay. No, it's not that big.
Still, when I was a kid, none of that shit was there. Like you got tickets from like skee ball, and a few other things similar to that. But it was all like Galaga and like it was video games. It was actually like real.
So it was
video.
An arcade. Street Fighter.
It was an arcade. It wasn't.
Yeah, Jason, it's changed a lot since you were a kid.
I know.
Like, I know. You haven't grown much since you were a kid. But Chuck E. Cheese has changed a lot.
No, I'm just saying, it's just, man, I used to love Chuck E. Cheese, and I love video games.
So anyway, we did the Chuck E. Cheese thing, and then, of course, Christmas in Reading is always a big deal. There's the Christmas Eve with the whole family and the White Elephant, which is unbelievable. Leslie sort of runs it, and I run the timer. Because if you don't run a timer on people, White Elephant gets out of hand.
They will be changing gifts forever.
There were 50 plus people.
Oh, damn.
In a relatively small house doing White Elephant. So again, you need to keep people on track for stuff.
Yeah.
So that was that. And then we opened regular gifts Christmas morning, and we ended up having to be back for visits with the bio dad. So we had to come back. We got up early the day after Christmas and drove straight to the visit from Reading to Fairfield.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. It was a bit of a haul, but we got there in time and had breakfast, and it was all good. It was all good. And then New Year's, we went to Costco. And then we just stayed in and relaxed. We had some beers, and then we had some champagne for the toast. And I will say this. Anchor Christmas Ale had a magnum of it. Myself. Fantastic. Almond champagne, fantastic. Together, not great.
Especially not that night.
Oh, it was like a punch right in the gut. It was just like a punch in the gut.
Like you, all the bubbles, right?
It was like 2 a.m. I woke up and I was like, oh God, I don't feel great. It wasn't a hangover or anything like that. It was just a mixture of this dark, a little bit thicker beer and this almond champagne, which is super sweet. But anyway, super sweet. All right, so let's get to the thing that we come here for. Let's talk about some news stories. We'll hit to the time sensitive ones, of course. the whole thing blew up with Iran, so to speak. And earlier today on Monday, Kellyanne Conway went out and faced the press corps to answer some questions.
How do you square the fact that the president and secretary of state do seem to be saying two different things around
They're not. Cultural.
They do seem to be. The president seems to say we are targeting cultural sites, which would be illegal.
He didn't say he's targeting cultural sites.
Did he not say that?
He said that he was openly asking the question, why in the world they're allowed to maim people, put off roadside bombs, kill our people, torture our people.
I thought he said he was targeting 52 sites, some of which were cultural sites within Iran, which would be illegal.
He said that they identified 52 sites.
But so they, can you
Are
say,
you speaking about hypotheticals or I got to deal in reality today.
Well, I'm asking you, is he speaking about hypotheticals or is he actually targeting those sites?
You're engaging in hypotheticals?
No, she's asking about something the president of the United States said on the record.
Is he speaking about hypotheticals or are you actually targeting sites which would be illegal, which is exactly
he's identified sites.
Secretary of State Pompeo has said.
So that went well.
Yeah.
What that reporter is referring to is a tweet from President Trump where he, in fact, did say that they had targeted 52 sites. And I'm going to see if I actually have it.
And he did say
cultural sites. That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah. You can't delete a presidential tweet, right?
No.
No, it's been retweeted and screenshot enough that.
Well, he's not supposed to because it is part of the record.
It's supposed to be part of the record.
So no, you're not supposed to do that. That doesn't mean he hasn't. Let me see if I have it. Best military.
There you go.
Yeah, here we go. The tweet from January 4th, it's part of a whole thread. There were four dots and then targeted 52 Iranian sites, parenthetical, representing the 52 American hostages taken by Iran many years ago, close parenthetical, some at a very high level and important to Iran and Iranian culture. And those targets and Iran itself will be hit very fast and very hard. The USA wants no more threats. It's illegal to target cultural sites.
Well, no, but it's not World Heritage cultural sites. Iranian culture, all right? I mean, it's like Iranian culture.
Still a war crime. Still a war crime.
The highest order.
Yeah, it's genocide's second cousin.
Yeah, no, I'm...
Just saying. I'm just saying.
To be fair.
To be fair. Someone's been watching Letterkenny.
Okay, so... Answering the story again.
I like how Kareem paused, said, "Nope, not taking your call." Like all out loud. If you're watching on Facebook, you got a good look at it.
You got a good look at it.
So it goes on.
You can watch him live tweet, not about the show.
You were saying?
Oh, man. So a part of what happened with the Iraq war was. You know, they did the shock and awe.
Yeah, that was in Iraq.
In Iraq. Okay, but part of what that consists of in the part that the news media doesn't talk to us about is the other part is the shock of what they really want to do is wipe away what was there before so that they can have a blank slate to write an American narrative on this new place.
Well, the winner is the one who does get to write the history books.
Right. But no, they literally want to.
I know it's akin to the phrase "turn the desert into glass."
Right.
Yeah.
So what they went in, they took down like all of they took over all of the government functions. Iraq had like a 89% literacy rate, so they took over all of the schools. They destroyed all of the books in all of the schools. Because they wanted to corporatize the takeover of Iraq. So this is the other part of what you had to watch out for when they're talking about doing shit like this, because that's their purpose.
Yeah, it's an ugly thing.
Donald Trump says things that he hears behind closed doors that he shouldn't repeat.
Well, and here's the thing. He was apparently walking around Mar-a-Lago for several days beforehand, dropping hints that something was going to happen, which, by the way, not okay.
Not okay.
Right. But some of those people that were a part of that are still in this administration. Oh, so we, that's, yeah, where the, yeah, I mean, that's like, what the we, the fear is.
It's not. I'm not.
And the people who were posting on social media that the only reason people are upset is because they hate Donald Trump. Now, that's not the only reason people are upset. People are upset because he went ahead and pulled off an act of war without even hipping any of the leaders in Congress to it.
No.
Which is not cool. He clearly didn't think about what the consequences of it might be before he did it.
At all.
Which is not an okay thing. And now, because this Iran, and no one's arguing that the dude that got killed was a good dude and that he deserved to live. No one is arguing that at all. Well, maybe Rose McGowan, but nobody is arguing yeah. that. And the idea, and I've seen it all over social media. It's like, well, it's because you hate Donald Trump. It's like, no. I hate that he thinks that this is okay to do. And it's not okay to do.
Yeah, and you, especially when you don't have an after-action plan for this.
He has no after-action plan. So moving forward, some interesting news. So one could argue that this is all a big smokescreen, so to speak. A judge says Giuliani associate can give Congress impeachment probe data. It's also on January 4th. A federal judge ruled Lev Parnas, an indicted associate of President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, can give Congress phone data and documents related to the impeachment investigation. A U.S. district judge granted the application from Parnas's attorney, which sought permission to give lawmakers the data and documents that federal prosecutors seized after his October arrest.
Facebook audio isn't going through.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Jason, you broke it.
I didn't break it.
You broke it.
I didn't break it.
It's like a, he said it's a 60 cycle hum.
Oh, well, it was working before. So anywho, we're going to keep, sorry, Kevin.
All right.
And, anybody watching on Facebook,
we'll power through to the next one.
Yeah. It'll all be okay. You can watch it on YouTube later this week.
It might work. I'm just
kidding. Worked before. So happens when I trust stuff, Jason.
I didn't do anything, man.
Anyway, the House Intelligence Committee issued a subpoena for the materials in its impeachment inquiry. The lawyer said he expects the data to include documents from Parnas's Florida home and complete readout of his iPhone, though he has not disclosed specifically what relevant information would be. Review those materials is essential to the committee's ability to corroborate the strength of Mr. Parnas's potential impeachment testimony. Now, Giuliani is not named in the indictment charging Parnas and Igor Fruman, who is another associate of the former New York mayor. Prosecutors said Giuliani recruited Parnas and Fruman to help Trump dig up dirt on former Vice President Joe Biden in Ukraine, who polls show as a potential leading opponent against him in the 2020 election. So,
Rudy should be the most afraid person on the planet next to Donald Trump.
That's why he's drunk all the time. So there is a judge's ruling that says Lev Parnas can release all of this to the impeachment
inquiry.
And that same day, Donald Trump is threatening to blow up 52 Iranian sites.
Yes.
Could it be a distraction?
Pray tell, what do you mean?
Could be a distraction. Just saying it could be a distraction. So when you see weird tweets and crazy outlandish things, it might not be anything more than just nonsense. All right, Jason. It's time for something new that we like to call Jason's Jam. Go.
All right. So
digital juice.
If you
you're getting
digital juice.
Look, I have a subscription. This is just the preview of it.
What I wanted to talk about a little bit today was something I've been having a really great success with in my cooking, barbecuing, smoking, habits that I have. So last year my wife gave me a smoker. right? So I've been smoking different meats, pork butt, or pork shoulder. I did a ham. I've done a bunch of chicken. I did a turkey for Thanksgiving. And all my meat's been turning out great. And on my barbecue, too. So I have a Weber Smoky Mountain, 18-inch. That's what I use as my smoker. And then for just regular grilling, I use my Weber 22-inch. All right. Always offset the coals. It's always over to the side. You know, a full chimney when you're in the kettle, when you're cooking chicken, right? You always want to do offset in a Weber like that.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that.
Right. And also with the Smoky Mountain, like if you're doing chicken, you want to get really hot, right? So you want it like 350, 400 degrees in that smoker, which it's not necessarily designed to do. You're supposed to do low and slow usually, but chicken's not like that. Like that's with the pork and beef and stuff like that. It's not going to dry out. That has a lot of fatty tissues and stuff like that. Here's the thing. But most of the time when you cook chicken, it dries out, right? I mean, that's the problem that everybody usually has with their chicken or their turkeys is they dry out. The secret to this is brining. Like seriously, without a doubt. Not injecting, not anything else, but brining the meat. Like whether you do it with buttermilk concoction, or if you do it with salt and sugar concoction. What I've found recently and how I've been getting the most crispy chicken on my grills ever is by dry brining. And this is what I've been reading. I do a lot of forum searching and stuff like that and look for a lot of stuff. So dry brining, check it out. You always use a little bit more than you think you should, but you want to always coat the chicken. With the turkey, it's difficult because you want to get under the skin. So you have to separate the skin with your hand, like separate the skin from the breast meat and stuff and around the as much as you can without tearing the skin. And then you put in maybe about for like a 15 to 18 pound turkey, maybe about 7 tablespoons of like kosher salt. All right. Seems like a lot, but it's not really. And what it does is it draws out the moisture from the chicken. Right. And then redistributes it back in. And you want to do it at least 24 hours to 3 days. Like 3 days is going to give you maximum taste. And when you do that, if you want crispy, you leave it uncovered in the refrigerator. Like, that's the big secret, is leaving it uncovered in the refrigerator with the skin on after you brined it. And then you want to take it out of the refrigerator about 2 to 3 hours before you're going to grill it, let it get to room temperature, and then you throw that shit on. And I'm telling you. And then with the turkey, I put butter, warm butter, like all over it before I put it on the grill. And it was crispy. It was like glass almost. It was amazing. With chicken,
glass.
Listen, if you had turkey, if you've had turkey before, like, and like that skin, like there's a texture of that skin that it can get if you have it roasted perfectly, where like it just almost like the skin almost disintegrates on your tongue. And that's what I mean by glass, just so brittle and just snaps. It's amazing. And that's the way it was. Like it was nuts. And then this last time what I did is I actually had, some leftover, bacon grease. So I melted down the bacon grease and I coated all the chicken in bacon grease and then put it on. But you always want to add a little bit of fat on top of it to make it crisp. Turned out amazing. 25 minutes, 20 minutes, and it was all done. And use a meat thermometer. Like, I cannot stress this enough. Like, I saw somebody just talking today about it on Facebook. Like, make sure you use the thermometer. Like, and like your meat is always going to be perfect if you're testing it, and like poking it with the meat thermometer is not going to let juices come out. It's not a big deal, man. Don't worry about that. You're not that type of chef. You know what I mean? You're not going to be able to tell the difference. Like, and you'll make sure it's you can find it all on Facebook, but that's what I want to just talk about was
all right.
That brining, dry brining, man. Go for it. Do it.
Cool. And that's Jason's Jag.
That was a Jag, right?
That was a Jag.
That was a Jag.
Yeah. That's one of the new things we're going to be doing on Wednesdays.
Bam.
Kareem's got a new feature coming up on Friday, so.
Yeah. Aren't you proud of us for being adults through that whole process?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for giving me my moment.
Did very little making fun of you at all. Let you have it and just called it a day.
That's right. Good job, Jace.
All right. I need to remember what this what this song is. It's not letting me download it. Don't know why.
Believe me.
Believe me. All right. So before we get to small town news, which is going to be a feature again every show, I like to call this last story before small town news our most nonsense story of the show. This comes to us from Entertainment Tonight Canada, and the headline reads, self-proclaimed sex god Meatloaf talks threesomes, losing 70 pounds, and why he thinks Greta Thunberg is brainwashed. Greta Thunberg responds.
Jesus Christ.
Now, one of the biggest rock acts of the late 70s, because he had that one album, Meatloaf is best known for his mega hit Bad Outta Hell from 1977, which spawned such chart-topping singles as Two Out of Three Ain't Bad and Paradise by the Dashboard Light. In an interview with the Daily Mail, the 72-year-old rocker, whose real name is Marvin Lee Adey, recalled that he never had any trouble finding good-looking women to sleep with him, even when he tipped the scales at 265 pounds. He said, most of my songs are, well, true. They're story songs, and I'm really good at stories. I'm a sex god, dear. That's what he told the Daily Mail. I can't use bad language, but people would ask me, how can a fat MF like you go out with all these good-looking girls? He said, because I'm not going out thinking about what you're thinking about. These days, men don't open doors. They don't do anything right. Truthfully, they go all out just to get laid. I've never done that. It's not my first option. Never has been. And that's why I've gone out with all these good-looking women.
Get it fucking out of here, Meatloaf.
In fact, he insisted it's always been that way and reminisced about having his first three-way in high school with two female friends. So, yeah, that was the first double I had. We were making out in the parking lot in my mother's car. These days, his weight is considerably lowered, about 195, and he shared the secret to his 70-pound weight loss. He said, I will tell you how to lose weight. Look at the fat and the sugar content, and don't worry about the calories. Don't eat anything over 5 grams of fat and 3 grams of sugar. He added, I once did a low-carb diet and lost 70 pounds and put it all back on. Now, during that interview, he also expressed belief that 16-year-old climate change activist Greta Thunberg has been brainwashed because he doesn't believe climate change is real. By the way, Meatloaf, I don't believe that you're real either. Do you exist? I don't know.
Ask the people in Australia if it's real.
Doesn't exist. Meatloaf. I'm a sex god. I'm Meatloaf. You know how, hey, Meatloaf, you know how it happened? In high school, everybody's just trying to figure it out, and they're just going around and doing whatever. By the way, you're probably lying. And second of all, if you're somebody who has a song on the radio, you're gonna pull chicks. That's how it works.
Yes. And what the fuck?
Well like, stated, Jason.
Fuck you, Meatloaf. Fuck you. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
He said, hey, they don't call me Meatloaf for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he's fucking, he just lies there like a fucking fat piece of shit. Yeah, meaning that it was raw and disgusting. It was always mushy.
And covered with burnt ketchup.
But like, get the fuck out. Man, fuck this dude. Like you have a song called like Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Uh-huh.
Like it's about getting laid in your car.
I challenge you to not fall asleep in the middle of that 8.5 minute monstrosity.
But like, get the fuck, and you were in fucking Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're not a fucking person that can talk about moral qualities or characters about shit. Like the way you're I don't cuss.
Well, no. He didn't say that. He said he wasn't going to because he can't because it was an interview they were going to print.
His friend Donald Trump said that climate change isn't real and he believes it.
Fuck him.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
The show's so much spicier in 2020, isn't it? It's time to go down to Plattsburgh, New York for what I like to call a little bit of speak out from the Press Republican. Hey, before I do, though, I want to remind everybody that you, too, can help support the show by hitting that Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. There's also a Shop Target tab there, too. Go ahead and click through there and shop away. Every little bit helps. A little percentage of that comes back to us, and it doesn't cost you anything extra, so thank you again for taking care of that. All right. So Speak Out, if you're new to the show, Speak Out, people write into the newspaper in Plattsburgh, New York, and mostly complain.
Yeah.
This first thing is titled Racists. If everyone who hated President Trump spoke about Obama the way they do against Trump, they would be called racist. Just saying.
No,
that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
And not the people that did talk bad about Obama.
They were saying racist things. Calling him an orange-faced baboon is not racist because he's orange-faced and he walks like a baboon.
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Kudos to the Peru junior and senior high school kids who put on a play, A Christmas Story. What a great job. Loved it. See, they're not all negative.
Said mom of Billy, who played.
Why you
got
to ruin it? Why do you have to ruin it?
Yes.
Stop ruining it.
You'll shoot your eye out, Jason.
This next one's called Fires. Once again, we continue to see fires in our area. Why? Most of the time, it's due to faulty dryers, heating systems, electrical, and still today, no licensing in this area. I could hang my shingle out today and say I'm an electrician, as many do, and I have barely any formal training. New York State needs to be on top of do-it-yourselfers and unskilled contractors. Buyer beware!
Pretty sure that New York does have a construction licensing board.
Yeah, but you're talking about Plattsburgh.
Yeah.
People going around. That'd be fine.
Talk to your local government.
Yeah. Lice. This is called lice. Parents take notice. A local community action program are now allowing children in classrooms with lice. First, we do not vaccinate, and we have measles outbreak. Now it's okay to keep the spread of lice going all year long? Department of Health needs to step in now.
I would say that I kind of doubt.
That's because you want to send your kids everywhere with their lice.
No, I would never let my kids out of the house if they had lice. You know what I mean? Like that's not.
Which side are you on?
I'm on the side of common decency, and that's you don't let your kids go to school with fucking lice.
All right, get the Department of Health on this. And finally, Time. Now I've heard everything. President Donald Trump ridiculing a 16-year-old girl who was named Time's Person of the Year over his nomination. When will this man learn how to act like a president?
Never.
Well, I mean, assassinating somebody is pretty presidential.
No, that's covert.
Well then, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the WTH podcast. You can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with new episodes wherever you listen to your podcasts. And sometimes we're on Facebook.
Sometimes.
Sometimes we're on with audio or video. Sometimes both.
Some both.
And you can also check out the WTH podcast on the Darling New Media YouTube channel. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. And thanks for hitting that Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTH podcast. We will see you next time. Have a great one. Bye-bye.